And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Henry Hampel, musician and teacher extraordinaire. He's here to talk about some courses that he'll be offering at LSUE in the fall, Cajun fiddle class, both beginning and intermediate classes at LSUE.
That's right. Yeah, we're doing them on Tuesday nights in the fall.
Well, let's talk just a bit about you as a musician and a teacher, because I think there are a lot of people in our audience who have heard you come and talk about the camp that you direct, and I think perhaps you've talked with Cheryl about some other aspects of your work here. But let's give people a sense of the fullness of your career as both a musician and a music teacher. You've been teaching for a long time. What is your primary instrument?
Mainly fiddle. You know, I play with, I guess I would say, five different Cajun bands, you know, give or take, depending on your method of accounting there. but I play with a lot of bands, and that's mostly what I do in public these days. You know, when I perform for children or anything like that, then I typically play guitar. I've played guitar since I was 9 years old, and I took up fiddle when I was 16. So those are really my two main instruments. But then I also teach piano and accordion and banjo and, you know, what have you, bass guitar.
Mm-hmm. And so do you play any of those instruments in bands as well?
Or not really. Occasionally, I have been hired to play guitar for a Cajun band, and I like doing that. It's so much more laid back than playing the fiddle. It doesn't squeak at you or anything like that. You know, it's much harder to hit a wrong note. But
And you're not up right in front, you know, where everyone can see you, really, I guess. In the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a jug band back when I lived in New York. I moved to Louisiana in 2007. But back when I was in New York, I had a jug band where I played, you know, I brought every instrument and
played
them one by one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ukulele, banjo, mandolin, guitar, fiddle, water glasses, you know.
So you were a one-person jug band?
No. I had a band with other guys.
But you just played everything.
Yeah. And that was, you know, I guess it got a little old after a number of years carting around like 30 instruments.
So you just decided to kind of concentrate on one or two.
Yeah. Well, now, I still have all that stuff in the arena when I teach or when I work with kids. You know, I love to pull out the dusty old instruments and fool around with them. But normally when I play in public now, it's just fiddle.
Yeah. It's always interesting to hear how people come to love music, want to play music, to actually make that effort to take a class and learn. What was it that encouraged you? What led you to want to play music and then to actually take lessons?
You mean when I was a kid?
Yeah, when you were a kid.
I think, you know, the Beatles hit when I was about 5 years old. And, you know, I barely remember a time when there weren't the Beatles, you know. So that idea of being a rock and roll star, I suppose. But then also, you know, I was also very influenced by folk music at that time. My dad had me listening to Pete Seeger and Lead Belly and Woody Guthrie at like the age of 3 or 4. There was a Lead Belly song that I made up a baby talk version of. You know, when I was that age, you know, so it goes.
Is there a recording of you doing that?
We can make one right now. No, you're going to be sorry you asked. Okay. But and then I discovered Bob Dylan when I was about 7. And, you know, so folk, this idea of folk music was always a big influence on
me. When you were very young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Country music, I didn't hear that much of it, you know, around 1970 when I'm 10 years old.
And you were in New York.
In New York, yeah. You start hearing that country music is the in thing. Bob Dylan has recorded in Nashville and so on and so forth. But I barely knew what country music was. I thought Creedence Clearwater Revival must surely be country music because they had a record called Bayou Country.
Right, the thing about the bayou.
Yeah, and, you know, but then Hee Haw came on TV and, you know, and Bob Dylan goes on the Johnny Cash show. So it begins to filter in a little bit. And then bluegrass, I don't know. How did bluegrass come into my life? Well, I went away to boarding school in Vermont when I was 15, and bluegrass was all in the air at that point. And that's when I picked up the fiddle and the banjo.
Those are some amazing musical influences very early on in your life. You know, I mean, it's interesting when you talk to people around here, I don't know that there were as many kids exposed to as much as what you're talking about early on.
Yeah. Well, New York is such a hotbed for everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially
New York City, or
I grew up in the suburbs of New York City. Mm-hmm. I moved into the city when I was 23. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, being around the New York scene and having very liberal parents, you know, mm-hmm. Folk music was in the air. You know, there were bluegrass bands there. There were guitar players in the park, and you know, and banjo pickers, and you know, just yeah, this stuff was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it just all kind of coalesced inside of you, and you started playing the guitar very early at the age of 9.
The age of 9.
So were you kind of doing rock tunes on your guitar? Is that what you started
initially
off with?
Folk. I mean, you know, I started mm-hmm. off with the easy stuff, you know, with This Land Is Your Land and Bob right. Dylan songs. Mm-hmm. You know, I had mm-hmm. 4 or 5 Bob Dylan guitar books and, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so then when fiddle came into your life, I'm assuming with some folk, but also I guess bluegrass. And what was it that attracted you to the fiddle? What music really drew you in?
It was my dad's idea.
Fiddle was your dad's idea.
I plead not guilty here. On my 16th birthday, I'd just gone away to school in Vermont, and I must have come home talking about bluegrass, or I don't know what happened, but my stepmother's father, who owned a bookstore in New York, he played violin not terribly well as a hobby.
And for family gatherings.
Yeah, and owned 3 or 4 violins. And on my 16th birthday, my dad said, "Hey, do you want a fiddle?" I was like, okay. So he got one of these violins from my step-grandfather and gave it to me. And it came with no instructions attached. You know, I was up at boarding school in Vermont. And we sat around and kids played the guitar or the banjo or the whatever. And I just went scree, 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 scree. Mostly on 2 strings at a time, you know, nee, 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 nee. And that's how I learned to play. And I never got all that good at bluegrass.
But your friends obviously didn't mind too much.
They put up with me. I got together with one of my friends about 20 years later, and he heard me play, and he said, "Oh, you got good." But, you know, the way that I taught myself to play, and it had a lot of sort of rock and blues influence, because that's, you know, that's what we mainly listen to, mm-hmm. you know, despite all the folky, bluegrassy trappings. I mean, we were basically rock kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And the way that I learned to play, I never quite nailed bluegrass. I mean, I knew a lot of bluegrass tunes and everything, but when I got introduced to Cajun music in the 80s, it was much closer to the way that I'd always played, you know, playing on 2 strings at a time, very rhythmic, a little bit scratchy, and, you know, so it just kind of worked for me.
That's interesting. So something inside of you was already working towards the Cajun style before you even encountered it.
Somehow. And then, I noodled around with Cajun music for about 10 years and didn't take it very seriously, but, you know, stole a few licks from the few Cajun recordings that I had. And those were in the days when I was in that jug band, mm-hmm, you see. Mm-hmm.
Well, did you encounter Cajun music live or just through recordings first?
Live. Mm-hmm. My now wife, Yvonne Olivier, who at the time – she went to college in New York, and that's how I met her. But she's from here. She's from Sunset. And she sent me to see Beau Soleil in Central Park. I think it was the summer of 87. And that was really my first introduction, although I had seen a couple Zydeco bands prior to that. But I never really heard Cajun fiddle. And once I heard it, you know, I really, really liked it. I really related to it. But another 10 years or so elapsed before I really started taking it seriously and trying to learn each song correctly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about how you got into teaching fiddle. I mean, obviously the fiddle took with you, even though it was your father's idea.
Yeah.
You really liked it, and you were noodling around, as you said, in various styles. What happened to your musical education? Did you actually have any formal musical education?
Well, I'd taken lessons mm-hmm. as a kid. I'd taken piano lessons and switched to guitar. I think I took some bass lessons. Cello I had played as a young child. Fiddle, I was pretty much self-taught on. And then, you know, fast forward until, you know, I already went through college with a degree in English. And then I decided to go to graduate school and study ethnomusicology. Got a scholarship to Brown University. And so I got a master's in ethnomusicology. So that's you know, my most formal training mm-hmm. as a music teacher. Now, I didn't really go into that thinking, you know, when I come out, I'm going to be a music teacher. I don't know what I thought. I thought, you know, I'm just going to know more about musical traditions and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's always interesting what makes a good music teacher. You know, because it's like anything. People say, oh, if you study it, you can teach it. But that's obviously not true. I mean, there are some people who are just much better teachers. How did you find yourself drawn to teaching? I mean, you must have done it at first maybe to earn money, but how did you get into teaching?
It kind of started at a Shokin fiddle and dance camp in upstate New York, where I went there first in the summer of 2001 because I'd heard that's a great place to go if you really want to seriously learn some Cajun tunes on the fiddle, you know. And they that year, Shadi Vadi was up there. Mitch Reed was teaching fiddle and everything. And I loved the place at first sight. I mean, it was such a blast. I started working with a kid I met there, Jack Dwyer, who was 12 years old at the time, and started teaching him tunes every night. He was this kid who was he really turned out to be kind of a genius player on fiddle and mandolin, especially mandolin. He was kind of adrift in his musical world. Like he knew all these licks and he knew a lot of stuff, but he didn't know a lot of tunes. And I sat him down and started teaching him basic tunes. And just every night until at the end of the week, like he'd learned 10 tunes off of me or something like that. And the head started to turn. It was like, you know, God, you know, Henry really knows how to put it across. And then a couple of the grown-up campers started asking me for lessons, like the ones who lived in New York City. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And then, you know, I was getting ready to quit my day job. I was working in publishing in New York at the time, and I finally got out of that. And I got a part-time job teaching music in a preschool setting, kind of like mommy and me situation. And I started doing lessons the rest of the time. And I hung out my shingle on a bluegrass website that listed fiddle teachers and stuff. And it really snowballed. I got a lot of students up in New York.
So you liked it. You liked teaching.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a blast.
It wasn't just something you did
it
as
beats
a
working,
default.
Yeah.
Well, and you were, as you mentioned, self-taught on the fiddle. So you hadn't really had formal lessons on the fiddle, but somehow it felt very comfortable and natural to be teaching.
I took a lot of workshops on the fiddle. When I was in graduate school, we had an old-time string band, you know, old-timey, that was part of the curriculum there. And that's one of the main reasons I decided to go to Brown.
You know, wasn't just academic.
It was if you were studying ethnomusicology, which is of course the study of world music, the main school that people went to if they were into banjos and fiddles and stuff was Brown because of this old time string band. A lot of the other schools would have an Indonesian gamelan ensemble or something like that, and Brown had that too. But they had this old time string band, so I played in that for 3 years. God, what else did I do? You know, I definitely took some workshops, but not too many lessons per se, until I reached a certain point where I kind of wanted to improve my technique. And I did take some private lessons with a jazz violin instructor who teaches at the Berklee School of Music in Boston under Matt Glazer, but happens to live in New York. His name is Rob Thomas. I took with him for a year, and that was great. It was really a wonderful experience to, you know, to kind of roll up my sleeves and take some serious lessons until I didn't really even have time to practice anymore.
You, know? You were teaching and playing.
I was too
so
busy
much.
Teaching yeah. and everything.
Well, you mentioned that you taught in a preschool situation.
Yeah.
How did you respond to that? Did you like that when you first started teaching these very, very young children?
That was quite an interesting situation because we had infants classes, 4 months to a year. We had, you know, toddler classes, you know, up to about 2 years. And then we had twos and we had threes. And I was supposed to play every instrument in the orchestra. And they hired violin players because they figured violin is hard. You're not going to be able to fake it on the violin. So they auditioned me, and I think I played the French jig for my audition piece, you know.
But classical enough.
it wasn't classical at all, but they were convinced that I could play the thing. And then they said, do you know how to play Old MacDonald Had a Farm? And I went, ding, 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 ding on the fiddle.
You're hired.
And they're like, you're hired, yeah. But then I had to fake it on trombone and trumpet and tuba and clarinet and oboe and bassoon and so on and so forth as well.
But you did it.
Yeah. And the little kids, you know, depending on their age, you know, if they're infants, you just go up to each kid, hold the bassoon there, and you put their hand inside the bell and they can feel the vibrations mm-hmm. and everything. So it taught me a lot about teaching. You know?
Mm-hmm. From the very beginning.
What you can do, you know. What's going to work no matter how old or how young they are, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to tell people who just might be tuning in, my guest is musician Henry Hampel. He is also a teacher, has been for a long time, and will be teaching classes in beginning Cajun fiddle and intermediate Cajun fiddle at LSUE beginning this fall. Now, obviously, there was something about teaching children that did touch you because you've continued to teach children at various levels. You just finished your sixth Cajun and Creole camp through the Louisiana Folk Roots.
Yeah.
And you just finished teaching 6 years at Sacred Heart in Grankato. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're the music teacher up there. What did you teach the children at Sacred Heart? Were you teaching all kinds of instruments, piano, fiddle?
I taught at the boys' school up mm-hmm. there, which is called St. John Berkman's. And I taught group music classes that included choral singing, music appreciation. We did a musical every year, and that turned out to be great fun. You know, some of my New York roots came out. You know, oh, I really want to direct. And we did Jesus Christ Superstar, and we did Oliver. And this past year, we just did a Weird Al Yankovic review.
The boys must have loved that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, you know, what attracts me about teaching children? Well, just, you know, getting a bunch of kids together and, you know, making a big ruckus, but, you know, an organized ruckus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all the Cajun and Creole summer camp is. You know?
Organized ruckus. And that's gotten bigger each year, hasn't it? You had 50 kids this year.
We had 50 kids this year plus mm-hmm. 18 helpers. Yeah.
That's a lot of organized ruckus. So what were you teaching them? What instruments are taught at the Cajun and Creole camp?
Fiddle, accordion, and guitar. And mostly I have taught fiddle at the camp. I've occasionally subbed or, you know, filled in on accordion guitar. And I did teach vocals for a couple of years, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what is it about teaching Cajun fiddle? You know, it has a reputation of, or at least for a while, that was the hard instrument. That was the difficult instrument.
In Cajun music.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I think for a long time, a lot of people would stay away from that. And the accordion really attracted a lot of kids for a while.
The accordion's easier. It's very cut and dry. I mean, there's buttons. How do you make a note? You press a button. You know, you either press it or you don't press it. And it's like pretty hard to hit a wrong note there. The fiddle is another story.
Mm-hmm.
The fiddle is aggravating. And after, I don't know, I've played the fiddle 33 years or something like that. I forget, maybe even more, 37 mm-hmm. years. I don't know, a mm-hmm. lot of years. I still get aggravated with it all the time. I still feel like, you know, I'm hitting wrong notes and stuff.
Yeah, it's no button to push.
Yeah,
it's...
but why do I like teaching it? Well, why not? I mean, it's, you know, the fiddle was really the first instrument in Cajun music, you know, going back to the 1800s or even the 1700s, you know. And even though the accordion was introduced into Louisiana in the late 1800s and became the more dominant instrument, to a large extent, the structure of Cajun music is still based on fiddle tunes, like where you have two A parts and then two B parts, waltzes, two steps, whatever. And so, you know, that's how I like to conceive of it. And I like to pull apart a Cajun tune. This is the A part, this is the B part, but then you're going to pull apart the A part and say this is the first phrase, this is the second phrase, and even break it down more than that and then look at variations. Well, I mean, you can do all that on the accordion too, but, mm-hmm. you know, I like doing it on the fiddle. I like doing it on any instrument. I don't know. It's all good.
It was interesting earlier during Cheryl's program, she was talking with Ray Absher, and he's an accordionist, but he was acknowledging, you know, that the fiddle is the primary instrument and that really is the focus of the Cajun band. And so it was interesting hearing him talk about that as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find in the 6 years you've done the Folk Roots camp, do you find that there has been a growing interest in fiddle? Do you have more kids expressing interest in it? Or?
Fiddle is very big at the camp. Mm-hmm. This year we had 50 kids, and I'm going to say about 35 more fiddle players. We had four fiddle classes, one guitar class, one accordion class. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's because, you know, in the music teaching world, it has become customary to start kids on the fiddle at 4 years old or whatever. They have the little baby 1/8 mm-hmm. size fiddles and so on and so forth. And they have a whole teaching program worked out, the Suzuki program or other programs, you know, how you're going to convey this knowledge to a four-year-old. It's a little harder with the guitar, let's say, for them to put their fingers on different strings at that age and play actual chords. I have seen kids of that age do it, but it's harder mm-hmm. for them. Accordion, well, most of them, you know, do better with it at 6 or 7 than they do at 4 or 5. But, you know, yeah, so there's just, you know, in music teaching, there's just this tendency to teach kids fiddles.
So how young were the youngest ones at the camp taking fiddle lessons?
Well, that's classified information. I mean, strictly speaking, it's 8 to 14, okay. but we okay. bend the rules if a child is younger and they have substantial experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If they really come in and they already know a bunch of tunes or something.
Mm-hmm. So you go up into the age of 14 at the camp?
Yes.
And then after that, some of them have become counselors.
Counselors in training or CITs, yeah.
Okay. And about how many tunes do these kids come out knowing, say when they're 14 and they've taken the camp? About how many tunes?
We do three tunes during the course of the camp. It's 1 week long. So just like the grown-up Louisiana Folk Roots camp, mm-hmm. there are three official camp songs. And it's at an individual teacher's discretion if he or she wants to teach other songs. You know, we organize them into bands, and so the bands will sometimes play other songs. My band, we ended up doing The Back Door, I think, and then one of the camp songs. The Back Door wasn't a camp song, but the one accordion player we had in our band knew how to play The Back Door, so mm-hmm. and somebody else in the band knew how to sing it, so we just did it. You know?
So that's an integral part of this camp, is creating bands, groups of kids networking their music together, by the end of the camp they're working with each other. Do you find that some of them have maintained their connections with each other and they continue to play together?
We claim that 2 or 3 bands have formed at our camp. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true, but you know, we certainly contribute to that process of kids getting together to play with each other, finding other kids, you know, not feeling isolated and, you know, being this 8-year-old who's interested in the Cajun fiddle and not being able to reach out to any other kids who do the same thing, you know.
Right, right. Well, now, you teach private lessons in addition to your work with the camps. And
yeah.
Do you teach many adults in addition to young people?
I teach kids and adults.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier that you are going to be teaching classes at LSUE starting this fall. And are those classes for adults?
Okay, that's through LSUE's Continuing Education right. Division, mm-hmm. which is normally aimed at adults, but we're accepting anybody. So
teenagers, if they're interested.
Yes, we already have one high school student from Eunice High signed up for it. You know, college kids who, of course, are welcome. Adults, older adults, anybody can come. Mm-hmm. And I have it designed so that there's a beginning class and an intermediate class. The beginning class is just, you know, if you don't know how to take the fiddle out of the case, you're really at a loss. Don't worry. Come to the class. We'll figure it out. And I hope to have them playing like maybe 2 waltzes and two steps by the end of the semester. You know.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who – and I'm sure you hear them say this all the time, but we hear it a lot here too – adults who maybe their family has a fiddle or they've just always admired the fiddle and they have this secret desire to play the fiddle, but they're terrified to actually take a class, thinking that it's difficult. So how do you start them off in that beginning class?
Just begin at the beginning. You're going to take – here's how you take the fiddle out of the case. Mm-hmm. Here's how you take the bow out. Here's how you tighten those – you know, those horse hairs mm-hmm. on the bow. Here's how you rosin the bow. Here's how you hold the violin on your shoulder. Here's how you hold the bow. Here's how you put the bow on the string, and so on and so forth. And here's how you put your fingers on the string to make different notes. And little by little, I've been known to start Cajun fiddle classes off with Twinkle Twinkle Little Star just to get them, you know, you know, making the correct notes in the correct rhythm. And then from there, it's not very hard to move on to Evangeline Special or Love Bridge Waltz or, you know, some very easy Cajun tune.
Mm-hmm. So I guess just knowing that I've heard so many people express fear to actually sign up and register for a class, I think it's good for them to hear just how basic you start in that class.
In the beginning class. And then in the intermediate class, you know, that assumes some prior knowledge. And we're going to try and do, you know, a tune a week for 12 weeks. So, you know, you come out with a good, solid repertoire. And I like to tailor my intermediate class towards the idea of you need to know the 12 most common Cajun tunes, so you can take that and go into a jam or even think about starting a band or something like that. You know, I want you to know those basic tunes that everybody knows because the class is only part of the learning process. You know, jamming, getting into that jam session and stumbling around. Well, that's what I did. You know, when I first came to Louisiana, I got out that fiddle and I didn't know what I was doing, but I stumbled through a bunch of jams and reached a point where I could stumble through some gigs on top of it, you know. And that's what I want everybody to do. So they need to know those basic jam tunes, Allons à Lafayette, J'étais au bal, and so on and so forth, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is there a place where they can go online to look at the description of the classes?
There is a website. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've put anything up yet about the fall classes on the website, but strictly speaking, the website is www.lsue.edu/continuing for continuing education. But there is a phone number that they can call, and you know, they are already signing people up, so you can call this number and you can definitely sign up. It's 337-550-1390. And it's a bargain at any price. It's – am I allowed to tell the price? It's $100 for the whole semester. So that comes out to what, about $12 a class? No, $8 a class because it's 12 classes.
12 classes.
Comes out to $8 a class. It's a really good deal. And, you know, I'm just excited to be doing this in Eunice because I don't think it's been done on this scale in Eunice before. And Eunice, of course, is like – you know, pretty much the Cajun music capital, you know, with the Cajun Music Hall of Fame and the Liberty Theater and so on.
Right. And that's going to be starting on September 3rd, and it will run for 12 weeks.
September 3rd runs through to November 19th, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's open to everyone. You can sign up. You don't have to be registered in college. You can be any age, as you said.
Any age. I mean, you know, we'll take a 10-year-old. They'd probably have to attend with their parent, but, you know, we'll take anybody.
All right. Well, that's and again, if you are just tuning in, my guest is musician Henry Hampel and an incredibly experienced teacher as well. Has been teaching for decades now. Very thoughtful teacher. Has taught both in schools and also private lessons, and continues to teach private lessons, but is offering these group classes. And again, really encouraging anyone who's ever had a desire to take fiddle or to, if you just, you know, had a few lessons, maybe you want to continue and take that intermediate class. So again, Henry Hampel will be teaching at LSUE through the continuing ed program this fall. It starts on September 3rd. Both the beginning and intermediate will be on Tuesdays.
Tuesday right? nights, yeah.
Okay. So first the beginning and then the intermediate.
That's right. I'm also doing a little camp in Kaplan, August 23 and 24, the Palmetto Fiddle Camp. And it's sort of intermediate level. We're going to do like a little weekend camp. If anyone's interested in that, there's yet another website. It's palmettofiddle.weebly.com.
Well, maybe if you just search Palmetto Fiddle Camp, it'll come up. Yeah. And if you need that information, we'll have it here at KRBS as well. So the Palmetto Fiddle Camp in August.
Then sign up for the LSUE classes in September and you're in business.
All right. Beginning Cajun Fiddle or Intermediate Cajun Fiddle taught by my guest, Henry Hampel. Well, Henry, we're so glad you ended up in Louisiana and that you're sharing your skills and passion for the music with everyone here.
It's really great to be here. I keep saying I can't go back to New York. I'd be bored to death in New York City compared to Louisiana.
We're glad we're keeping you busy. Thank you.